I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Had a creepy neighbor from the time I was 12. He was a supposedly fire or let go cop, divorced and lived alone, did not have a relationship with his child, and did not have a job. Older guy, who also had a crazy dog that would get loose occasionally and chase us, despite warnings not to let it happen again. Another time playing outside rural area, a family friend visiting had ran into the cornfield during a game of tag, and ran into him hiding in there watching us. He turned around and ran back, but the neighbor was yelling at him as if he had done something wrong. I am really happy this did not happen to me. Other instances throughout the years. When I was 14, there were what looked like bullet holes in his front door and mailbox. My older brother and I went around selling stuff for school. He was the only neighbor who made us come inside and shut the door on us and tried to get us into conversation. We were uneasy around him from that moment on and didn't go back to his house. I always keep my blinds closed now, because when I was 13-15, I would accidentally leave my blinds open in my room. This had happened while changing. My dad had caught him looking into my window from the street and went to talk to him. Another time when I was 14-15, my siblings and other neighbor kids were outside in summer heat playing with water guns and balloons and the hose in bathing suits. He ran over laughing and jumping and insisted he wanted to play too. Looked like a fun time. I glared at him, and he said he actually came over to speak to my dad. I grabbed my youngest sibling and went into the house to get away from him. When I was 16 and able to drive, and for years later, he would yell at me to go slower. I was driving 25 in a 30. My house is also the first on the block. He would also try to wave me down, walk in front of, or step in front of my car, even at night, to get me to stop and talk to him. After the first time of this being successful and forcing conversation, I would keep my windows up and got better at dodging him or taking a different route. A neighbor had caught him in his family garage when no one was home. he had a fight with a house guest of a neighbor. As he stood in their driveway and blocked them from being able to leave, he would also look into people's cars. After a fresh snowfall, I am probably 18 at the time, my dad went outside very early in the morning and found footprints that circled our house. It showed a person walking up to our sliding doors to look inside. It also showed that the person had went up to my car and peed next to it. My dad followed the footprints with our dog to his house and confronted him. Final and creepiest moment. For my prom, my mom took some photos of me outside with my dress in our yard. My neighbor kid the same age as me came up to say hi. No one else around for miles. An entire year later, the neighbor catches me getting the mail while I am visiting my parents and explains to me how beautiful I looked on prom night and how I had to have had a lucky date. I was polite, forced a nice laugh, and thanked him and went into the house. I joke now that he must have been looking from his house with binoculars or a gun scope. So, to start this off, I am going to give a description of myself and my friend. I am a 17-year-old, 110-pound girl, and my friend is a 19-year-old, 90-pound girl. This will be somewhat useful later. Also, I apologize for my grammatical errors. This happened about 3 months ago at the beginning of the summer. I was at my best friend's brother's apartment, where there were 7 people including me. But anyway, about 2 weeks prior to the occurrence, there had been this grown man who was harassing my friends, trying to break in, threatening to kill them, and just overall being a mess. Of course, they called the authorities, and they didn't do a thing. So, my friend Rabbit and I were going to go out to her car to put her 2-month-old's car seat in the back seat because she was getting ready to take me home. We were in the bad part of town, and we already knew about this guy, so I had a taser, and Rabbit had a knife. We were walking back when we thought we saw the man waiting for us, so we got our weapons out, ready to use if need be. Turns out, it wasn't even him. However, as we were walking in, we had to walk past his apartment. As we were about halfway down the hallway, we heard him scream from his apartment, "Oh, I got you now," and he started chasing us. This man had inhuman speed. I've never seen somebody so fast. As we both turned around because we realized we locked the door before we went out, he attempted to stab us multiple times with about a 7-inch blade. We both somehow dodged the blade, and she fell into the wall opposite of me, and I fell into their neighbor's door. This man is like 6'7" and a lot bigger than both of us. I go to turn on the taser while still attempting to dodge this man's unnecessarily big knife, because I am not going to let me nor my friend die. He notices this and then starts acting all cool with us and tells us that he could have killed us. We have to act like we are okay with him in order to get inside the apartment. Afterward, we get inside, and we both break down and hug each other, then go to make sure everyone else is okay, especially Rabbit's baby. Her brother and my friends were already on the phone with the cops, and they literally told them that they thought we were being killed and saw him not only with the knife, but a gun as well through the peephole. The cops take over 45 minutes to get there, question us, and act like we are stupid and don't know what we are talking about. They didn't even go question or detain the man, acted like he was the victim, and treated us like we were the criminals for wanting to defend ourselves if need be. They were basically useless and only left us feeling pissed off. I had my boyfriend pick me up because I didn't want to be there anymore, and I cried in his arms for 20 minutes. The look in that man's eyes is one I will never forget. It was pure insanity and hatred. He had no good intentions, and I believe the only reason Rabbit and I are alive today, and I am able to tell this story, is that he saw we were going to be able to somewhat defend ourselves. I still can't go in public places without some form of a weapon, and this man has emotionally scarred both me and Rabbit and our friends, having to hear our screams of pure terror as we thought we were going to get killed. So, to the man with the unnecessarily big knife and inhuman speed, and to the useless cops, I hope I never see you again. This happened when I was about 16 years old or so. When I was younger than that, my friend and I would often go to a neighbor's house to play. He had a palm tree house, a pool, trampoline, and a freezer full of ice cream. I don't think he had kids of his own, but if he did, they lived with their mom. He would date women who had kids, though. Hence all of the amazing kid stuff. Eventually, they would break up and we'd stop playing there. Anyway, when I was about 16, I was walking home from the post office. It was a straight shot to my house, and if I kept walking, I'd get to the neighbor's house another block down. When I was about a block away from my house, I watched the neighbor drive by the opposite way so slowly. I kept looking back at him as he slowly sped back up. I've always been crazy paranoid about being kidnapped or jump lol. I watch as he pulls into a parking lot and turns around to come back down the street. And he was flying. I immediately started running across the street to my empty house and ran around to the back door to unlock it. I was shaking so badly I could hardly get the keys in the door. I got inside, slammed the door and locked it. I crept towards the hallway to look down to the front door, which was pretty much all glass but was covered with a curtain. I watched his silhouette as he marched up the steps and started knocking on the door. I didn't move. He started knocking again. Then he started banging on the door. Eventually, he walked back to his car and drove off. I have absolutely no idea what he wanted, but I wasn't about to find out. A couple years later, he got arrested for producing and distributing child porn. He'd apparently been doing it for years. It sends shivers down my spine thinking about all the time we spent at his house. Inside, he had laid down strips of plastic that he insisted the kids stay on so they didn't get his carpets dirty. I'm not exactly sure if this should be put here, or if I'm just being paranoid, or if this is even worth reading. Anyway, a neighbor is renting part of his house out. The man moved in about maybe a few weeks to a month ago. My mother had a bad feeling when he introduced himself. He then somewhat vanished for some time and returned today. Reintroduced himself. Not sure why. Was talking to my mother, and I guess he either saw me walk out beforehand or saw one of my two dogs looking in the direction or heard me trying to get the dog back. But he sort of just came walking back into the backyard trying to talk and get close to me. Tried to tell him that the dogs bite, which was clear they weren't friendly as they were going crazy. He just kept walking closer and closer. Ended up in another neighbor's yard with one of the two dogs in my arms, and severe rope burn from the other. He eventually left and acted odd doing so, including having some weird interest in my age and other things. We told the others in that house. But evidently when my stepfather came home and she informed him of what happened, he said to asshole the cops to talk to him. The man claimed he hadn't been in the yard at all and that he didn't know us. Then at some point had cussed my stepfather out for playing music. Neither of them really like how he seemed to have been pursuing me, even with the dogs barking and trying to lunge at him. Again, I'm sorry if this isn't really interesting, or a good post for this sub, but I wanted it off my mind. Am I just being paranoid? So, live in a fairly calm neighborhood in a decent-sized city in Sweden. Everyone knows each other on this street. Today, when I woke up, I noticed an unfamiliar car parked outside my house. The car doesn't have any license plates, and it has a refrigerator in the trunk, which I find to be quite odd. I spoke to my neighbor, and he said that he saw the car getting parked this night at about 4. He also saw the two men that drove the car running from the car to a woods or park area. He later saw them coming back from woods or park area and tried to start the car, but it didn't start, so they ran away again. The local police were looking at the car today, but they don't have the resources to investigate it at the moment. Edit. 15 hours prior to the car was parked by my house. There was a robbery in the downtown city. Robbery is super rare in this city. The police have found the first robbery car, but the robbers are still on running foot. Crimes are quite rare in this city, and especially this neighborhood. Rarer are cars with no license plates. No one in the whole neighborhood has seen the car before, and no one has bought or sold a refrigerator. Why is there an unfamiliar car with no license plates parked in outside my house in the middle of the night with a refrigerator in the trunk? Any clues or ideas? This isn't that wild, but things like this never happen where I live, and I appreciate it could have been a lot worse than what it actually was. My partner and I live in an old mid-terrace house. There are other terrace properties to the back of us and the sides, so we are in a square of the same properties. There is no access to our garden or the back of our house, unless you get into a neighbor's garden and jump over one of our 6 feet fences, or go through the front door. The area where we live is extremely quiet, and there are a lot of families around. So in the days when we are both in, we tend to keep the doors closed but unlocked. This happened on a weekday just after lunch. I was at my desk, which is in the living room, when something in the garden caught the corner of my eye. I looked out the window to see a half-naked man. He was wearing shorts storming down the garden towards the back of the house. I had never seen this man before, had no idea how he had got into the garden and what his intentions were. My partner and I are both women. I am quite short, and at the time my partner was off work with flu and was sleeping upstairs, so I was immediately on edge seeing this man. I heard the back door being smashed open and heavy panting, so immediately went to the door of the room I was in and shut it, holding it closed. I heard him come out of the kitchen and into the hallway, where there are the stairs and the door of the room I was in. I then had a sudden realization that my partner was upstairs and was worried that he may go up there and do God knows what. I opened the door of the room I was in and shouted, mimicking the tone that my mom does when she's super angry and wants to terrify us, and shouted, "What are you doing?" The man was already opening the front door to go out when I did this, so I probably should have just waited for him to leave. He stepped back in towards me and shouted, swinging his arms round. I couldn't make out much what he was saying in my panic, but there was a lot of swearing and it wasn't pleasant, which led to me panicking even more. I managed to push him out of the door and quickly lock it. No idea how I managed to do this. He stood on the doorstep shouting and banging on the door afterwards, trying to get back in, and then eventually left when I was on the phone to the police. The police came to my house to take my statement. They explained that it was a man who lived around 5 minutes away from us. I'd never seen him before, who had gone on a drug-fueled rampage in the street behind ours. He had threatened people with a shovel and had slashed someone or people with a knife that they believe he had on him when he came into our house. He explained that they had had reports of this man forcing his way into neighboring properties, had pushed over several people, and had punched another person when they had tried to stop him from getting in. They eventually picked him up on the other side of the town, trying to stab the doors of a block of flats in an attempt to get in. You've heard of road rage. Well, my neighbor next door has parking rage. He moved into a unit in this duplex right next door maybe 6-8 months ago. Immediately, he has this sense of entitlement over street parking, and not even street parking in front of his duplex, which I could sort of understand, even though he'd still be wrong. No, he feels entitled to parking in front of my house. Which is weird, but I don't care too much, except he takes it to the extreme and tries to prevent me from parking there. He will try to park as far away as he can from other cars, while still being close enough so another car me cannot park there. Sometimes he's off, and there's enough room for me to park next to him. But that really sets him off, and he'll leave these little passive-aggressive notes on my car when that happens. Often there's no real way to avoid it. It's park next to him or halfway down the block. I have generally just ignored it, but now he's crossed the line. This latest note was glued to the hood of my car right over the paint. It eventually washed off without any permanent damage, but that is ridiculous. I have a surveillance camera that caught the whole thing, so I have video evidence, but there was no lasting damage, so the cops won't do anything. I'm not sure what to do at this point. I'm concerned he'll escalate even more. When I was living in a student house, me and one housemate dropped some acid and started a loud techno session on the decks. An hour or so later, the recently released from prison insane neighbor banged at the door. I answered it, fully tripping. He whipped two knives out, held them to my throat, and told me to turn it down or he'd cut my head off, and that he'd rather go back to prison because there everything made sense. It put a bit of a downer on the trip, to be honest. I have a neighbor that if you basically just say hi to him, he'll start telling you absolutely everything about every other neighbor. He doesn't even realize he's doing it. I don't know why other people would, in general, say certain things to a neighbor or stranger to begin with, but I think they would be seriously pissed off if they knew he was saying certain things to others that they thought would be held in confidence. I knew on first meeting him to never ever say anything at all about myself personally. I know detailed, intimate financial information about two households when they were going through tough times. By the way, I just don't talk to him anymore, and before, I'd always find a way to quickly exit any conversation when he'd start up. I don't want to know anyone's business like that or get mixed up in some stuff. He's a rat. So, there was this absolutely horrid smell coming into my bathroom through the AC piping. And of course, I had no idea which apartment it was actually coming from. One day, I stepped outside into the hallway to carry some things to my mom's car since she was visiting me, and I decided to take out the trash too. I'm standing in the hallway with the trash bag and my mom's things when my next door neighbor opens his door and steps halfway into the hallway. With all his pants down to his ankles, I'm like, "What the hell?" And then it hits me. Dear Jesus, Mary and Joseph, the smell. So, after I call my landlord to tell him that I now know where that smell is coming from, thank God the next day they go in with a health inspector and the police. It seems that the neighbor, who was an alcoholic, got so drunk pretty much every day that he couldn't make it to the bathroom, so he would just shit and piss himself. I had a neighbor who suffered from schizophrenia. Therefore, his yelling at him saying incoherent things was very frequent, especially in the early hours of the morning. His condition reached a point where he constantly beat his wife and smoked marijuana, making everything worse. We got to a point where we called an ambulance and the police very often. Everything continued until his wife couldn't take it anymore, and she put him in a mental hospital. As a kid, we had a neighbor that had a daughter the same age as me. So we got to know the neighbor pretty decently over the span of a couple of years, and he was a decent guy. Eventually, he started acting a little weird, and we found out he became addicted to meth. It got to the point where he put stone gargoyles that were meant for a yard on his roof. The reason was to protect him from the evil spirits. So yes, he was climbing in his roof, dragging these 50-pound statues and leaving them there. Pretty weird. My husband and I have lived in this home for 14 years. It's in a great, quiet, diverse little section of a suburb with no hoa. Everything was super chill with all the neighbors until 2018. The house next door to me sold, and that's when we got K. Right about this time, my grandparents started to decline fast, and I was there taking care of them most days and nights. Our yard did get overlooked. There were times when I came home and went straight to bed instead of bringing the trash cans up. So it started with calls to city codes. Fine, they were nice enough. We always just handled what needed to be handled. Then calls to animal control started. That was unsettling because we do have a pit bull, and we do know how some people feel about them. But we've had her since she was 6 weeks old, and she's been raised around a bunch of cats. She thinks she is a cat. So animal control loved her and started apologizing whenever they had to show up. Then the calls to the police started. Once, the cops showed up at 10 p.m. on a Tuesday because someone had left a mean Google review on her company's page 2 weeks prior. I really can't believe the cops even responded to that. I wrote a letter, gave her my number, assured her that anything she felt needed to be addressed on my property could be handled with just a text. Then she started yelling at my kids. The neighbor on her other side sent me screenshots of her Facebook page where she belongs to a bunch of all pit bulls should be euthanized groups. She makes posts about using bear gel spray on our dogs if she has to. So we both got outdoor security cameras. Everything was cold and quiet.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to Quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Winning is an everyday mindset, and we're here to help. I'm Craig Robinson. Join me and Coach John Calipari for Ways to Win. We're kicking off during March Madness. Cal's Kentucky Wildcats are in the hunt. So throughout the tournament, I'm going to call up my friend to ask about his wins, losses, and especially what he's telling his players in the locker room.
You got to win every day.
Find the Ways to Win podcast anywhere you listen.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
For a while. I don't know what's happened this past month, but it's legitimately scary. She has a 14-year-old son that she keeps isolated. She bought him a crossbow. The thing is bigger than him. They set up a hay bale along the back fence, and he shoots at it. The thing is bigger than him, and there's an elementary school behind us. She went on an unhinged rant when my daughter went out to water her flowers, like she was speaking in tongues at the end. Sometimes the sun will just stand at our fence line and stare into our window. Last night, she sat on her deck, shining a flashlight into our window, humming some creepy tune. It's starting to make the hair on the back of my neck stand up. My husband referred to her son as Norman the other day, and I felt sick to my stomach. Not funny, too close to home. The other neighbor thinks we should call the police and ask for a mediator. I don't even know if cops do that. They certainly don't offer concierge service where I'm from. I have a pretty unhealthy distrust of the police, though to be fair, the ones here have always seemed to mind their business and not go looking for trouble. So now I need to decide between two dreadful options. Allow this to continue escalating or involve the police, and what good will that even do? Looking like you want to murder me isn't illegal. Ever since I filed a police report back in February, my neighbors have been making my children's lives and mine a living hell. They have three cameras pointed at my home driveway, window, and yard stalking, recording my minor children and me. They send letters defaming my character, threatening to report me to CPS to my relatives. They hurl insults, obscenities, threats, and engage in lewd behavior, all while in her work uniform on three separate occasions. I got fed up and sent the footage to her employer. My PTSD, bipolar disorder, and postpartum depression were out of control. Yet I only responded and cursed her out the last time she put a note on my car. The cops came out, told her to leave my property and me and my children alone. She told me she had previously undergone triple bypass surgery, yet she still chain smokes constantly and claimed my actions have caused her to go to the hospital twice, even though she told me it was for asthma and steroids for her lungs. She was demoted but still has a job and is seeking $20,000 from me. I'm located in New South Wales and have had multiple issues in my rental. I am in a granny flat and someone else rents the main house. I have many issues with the lady in the front house. We will call her Jess. This includes being called a C almost on a daily basis. I have been threatened many times. I also unfortunately had my pet bunnies poisoned. The day prior to this, the neighbor had gotten mad at me and said, "If I were you, I'd watch my mutt," referring to my dog. Luckily, the day my bunnies were poisoned, I had taken my dog to my parents' house for a playdate with their dog while I was at work. She was upset because she was accusing me of damaging her car. As I was walking past her car with my dog on a leash, her car was parked directly in front of my gates to the entrance of my property. This all started when this neighbor first moved in. She had told me she was happy if we shared the driveway, even though it was on her lease, and in exchange, I would collect cans for her to cash in from work, roughly 100 cans a day, and honestly, I never thought much of it. About 6 months later, I had multiple instances where my dog kept randomly getting out while I was at work. I am a nurse, so it's a little hard for me to just leave to go and get my dog. I kept having to get family and friends to pick her up every time she'd get out, but I couldn't figure out how she was escaping. So, I asked the lady who lived across the road from me, whose cameras see into the front of my house, to check them, and I discovered that Jess was going into my yard and letting her children play with my dog while I was at work, and they had accidentally let her out. The next day, I went and knocked on the door and asked if she was entering my property, if she could please double-check the gate, as my dog kept getting out, and I couldn't afford for her to get injured. During the discussion, I thought we had sorted the issues and there were no arguments. I then got a call from my real estate agent that the neighbor had put in a complaint about me parking on the driveway to the side and out of the way. When I received this call, I immediately moved my car onto the street. My other neighbor, an elderly lady we will call June, had noticed I was parking on the road and had asked what was happening. After explaining this, June offered for me to park in her driveway, as she doesn't have a car and doesn't use her driveway. After seeing I was parking on June's driveway, Jess went over to June's house and yelled and screamed at her and pushed the neighbor. Luckily, June's son was visiting at the time, and he kicked her off June's property and called the police. I was at work when this all happened. Since this incident, there have been constant arguments with Jess, but I honestly just walk away when she starts yelling. Jess then filed a report with the real estate, saying that myself and the neighbors are bullying her. I tried to explain that if the other neighbors were saying or doing anything, it had more to do with a situation that had occurred with June, as June has been living on the street for 20 years, and the other neighbors are very protective of June. Since all this happened, I have reported everything to my real estate, but they have done nothing. This all started in January, just after I signed a new lease for another 12 months. I am now quite scared all the time. I have installed cameras, but I still don't feel safe. I also can't leave my dog home alone after my rabbits were poisoned in fear she might try something with my dog. So I now pay for dog daycare, which is extremely expensive. Does anyone know if there is any way for me to get out of my lease due to safety reasons? Just last year, some neighbors were running drugs, sex work, and stolen goods out of a rental house down the street. We were annoyed by all the sketchy people coming and going and had filed numerous complaints about the house. One day, the place is swarming with cops, the place is cordoned off, and the CSI van is outside. I've never seen our city's CSI van before. Some neighbors talk to the police and we get the story, which was only now just published in the news as they were working to try and catch some people. Turns out during a drug deal, most likely, a young man was murdered there and kept in the house for 3 days until they went to a park and dumped his body in the river. The people who rented the place were apparently not the killers. Two other people who are still on the loose did it, but were associates of the renters. I don't even know how to write this, as the situation makes little sense even to us. In September of 2021, my husband, mother-in-law, and I, we all live together as mother-in-law prefers us to be here, hired a handyman who lives down the street on the adjacent side to knock out the wall between me and husband's room, and the guest room to make it into a larger suite. Initially, he was very kind, knowledgeable, and did the job exactly as asked. He and mother-in-law have a lot in common, so they began to grow a friendship over their love of plants and yard work and DIY projects. He did more, smaller projects always paid more than what he was quoted, and even did work for a family member next door again, always paid as asked if not more. He sort of became a family friend, stopping by to drop off things here and there, mother-in-law always reciprocating by taking he and his mother food, flower cuttings, etc. About 6 months into his growing friendship with mother-in-law, she invited him to a family cookout. At this point, husband and I were encouraging this friendship. We are close friends with most of our immediate neighbors, and they just got along so well. At the cookout, he is pretty easygoing, but had clearly been drinking beforehand. He starts rambling on about being able to see the future, which, fine, our family believes in alternative spiritual stuff, but mother-in-law not super into it, and then at the end of the night, mother-in-law walks him out and he kisses her. She was not into it and didn't really expect it, but later wrote a text to him that she didn't see him like that and wanted to remain friends and keep hiring him for jobs as before. He said he understood and that things could remain normal. That should have been it. At first he was fine with this and continued to come over. But once again he tries to shoot his shot. He started sort of texting back and forth, in a weird neckbeardy attempt to woo or haggle with her about her stance on their friendship. He barges into the backyard unannounced to get a pitchfork he loaned mother-in-law is happy being single. She's in her 60s, still working in a career she loves and loving her life. She doesn't want that to change. Instead of respectfully backing off, clearly drunk texts turn sexual in nature, and then progressively threatening and cryptic. Finally, after requesting several times for him to stop contacting, he sends the most deplorable text, something I don't care to repeat out of the cruelty and personal nature of the remark. That's it. Husband and I have already been over this man's childish and misogynistic behavior. But that was the last straw. We call the cops, and as we wait for an officer to arrive, handyman is now on the phone with my husband spewing misogynistic slurs and saying things no one wants to hear someone say about their mother and her body. I mean, think of the worst things. He said it. Husband starts recording the convo on another phone until an officer arrives to write an incident report. This officer was extraordinarily helpful and understanding and gives us info on how to set our ring cam, etc., as well as pointing us in the direction of a formal no trespass or harassment warrant, which we pursue. Apparently he got upset believing we were trying to ruin his rep, because our neighbor and family friend of 20 plus years did not wave at him as he drove by, no doubt assuming We told her what was going down, which obviously we did. Fast forward about 2 months. Handyman sent one final message before being blocked, but after being served a warrant which does violate the no contact. But mother-in-law believed she had blocked him. After that, things are pretty quiet. Until family member from the other house next door and I are doing yard work, and one of the dogs alerts us to the compost pile behind the shed. I find the biggest possum I've ever seen up close, dead, splayed perfectly across the compost pile on its belly by the way handyman helped mother-in-law make this compost pile. And we have a back road that has access to our yard, including behind the shed. Obviously, it had not died of a violent attack from one of our animals, and it was bigger than all of our pets. Now, if you don't know, animals, especially wild ones, don't die in the open of their own volition. And this one had not succumbed to any external wounds, so I found it strange that it didn't just crawl the less than 1 foot gap and die under the shed. But other than that, didn't think much more of it until maybe a day or two later, when the thought crossed my mind that handyman, who is not a squeamish dude, very well could have placed it there by simply driving down that back road. Things weren't adding up, but I dismissed it as my anxiety getting the best of me. Though I did share this with husband and next-door family member, who agreed that it was a weird situation at the very least. Now we are to present time, around 3 weeks after the discovery and removal of the possum, regrettably. I don't have photos for evidentiary purposes. Things have continued to be normal, albeit still very awkward when we pass him in the neighborhood, but we just ignore each other. I want to preface this part with some information. Husband and I work from home. Mother-in-law does not. The home is almost never empty other than the occasional family outing. Handyman lives at the end of the street, where he has full view of our home from his workshop or garage. He has been in every room of our house. He is also in his 60s, not super tall, but in decent physical shape. Aprox 10:30 p.m. on a Monday, mother-in-law returns home from working all day. We do our usual routine on nights like this, open her wine bottle, go out to the back porch with the dogs, and talk about whatever happened that day. We return inside after around 15 minutes, and one of our dogs begins to bark. At first, I assume he's barking at the other dog, but realize he is the alone perched on the back of our living room couch barking into the closed window. Weirdly enough, one of Handyman's cryptic threats popped in my head. How alert are the dogs? But again, I shake it off as tired paranoia. We have all returned to our separate rooms. Mother-in-law had just flipped on her bedroom TV and husband, and I returned to our spots. He at his desk and I on the couch seat in our room next to it. Between our spots next to my head and facing him is a window which has a very loose bottom pane. Right as we settle in and I hit the play button on the show we were watching, the window pane flies into the room into my husband's lap with a massive crashing sound knocking one of his monitors over. For a brief moment, I thought it was a brick or a rock until my husband shouts, "Someone just punched the window, he's running away." Not even a minute later, we are on the phone with emergency services. We review the Ring footage only to find that since it was facing the front door directly next to it, it could not see the person at all. They ran in the direction of Handyman's part of the neighborhood. About 10 minutes later, police arrive. They stay for all of 5 minutes. Later, we see there were 4 squad cars on our, but only 2 came in. Comment on its smelling. We smoke CBD or whatever and comment on my husband's bloody toe. He probably cut when he jumped from his desk out of fear, acting as if we just got high and called the cops for funsies. Whatever, they leave to patrol, and we are left with more questions, no answers, and no follow-up. My husband did contact the initial officer from the first incident, who was kind enough to give us some actual info on how to protect ourselves since guns aren't an option here, unfortunately. But Handyman has lots he likes to brag about. Now we are left constantly on edge and don't want to leave mother-in-law home alone. Here's a few details that don't sit right with me, but were hard to include in the story. The window that was punched in was used by handyman and furniture movers to bring in things that couldn't be brought through the front door. The window was also the only one that did not have closed curtains that block light. Therefore, you could easily see that the lights and TV were on in that particular room. The Ring camera did seem to pick up a small amount of audio, but it's hard to know exactly what we hear because of surrounding ambient noises. But it does sound like breathing at the end of the recording of mother-in-law entering the home. I do believe you can hear a sigh. Meaning if this were a crime of opportunity or someone casing the place wouldn't likely try to rob a house when they see someone just came home. They also would have heard our voices outside at one point, in my opinion. Whoever did this knew to at least steer completely clear from the view of the camera. Our first ring was mysteriously crushed in at some point between the first incident and the possum. So we obviously all have our theories. And I have tried to rationalize this in any way that it could have been random, or someone else who helped move in furniture. But none of it adds up. If it is handyman behind this, we think he must have paid some kid to do it, as the person who did it ran very fast, not that I underestimate him. No matter what, something has to be done. I can't let this man think he is successfully forcing us to live in fear. The guy who lives above us is strange. He is in his 40s or 50s, but his mom comes over every day. When she is here, we can sometimes hear him screaming at her. It's hard to tell what is being said most of the time, but he's definitely yelling, and occasionally it sounds like he's throwing things. This man has approached both me and my boyfriend individually on multiple occasions, usually when we are alone walking our dog at night. One time he knocked on our door, and we didn't answer. He then came around to our patio door, which is a glass sliding door, so he could see into our whole apartment. Our dog was barking at him. My boyfriend opened the door slightly to talk to him, and he asked if he could come in, or if we had money we could give him. We truly didn't have any, so we said no, but he got kind of pushy about it, until we just closed and locked our door. He often asks me if he can come into our apartment and eat or charge his phone when I am out with our dog, and does the same to my boyfriend. I lived in a very old, very creepy slum of a Victorian building, with 4 floors and 5 separate apartments. The hallway light was always out. My creepy neighbor was the old drunk downstairs. He'd stop me on the landing to tell me about his dreams, which always involved violence. Sometimes he invited me for hamburger helper, which I always declined. The police came once a week to pick him up off the floor. A lady showed up once a month, presumably around the time his disability check came in. One weekend, I took the dog for a walk. When I got back, the coroner was there to get the old man. They were taking his body out as I walked up. He had died at some point that weekend. I'll never know when, but I was just upstairs the whole time. Later, my friend and I went into his unit to look around. I regret doing that. There were empty plastic vodka bottles everywhere, a rolling toilet in the den, a vomit bucket next to the bed, and moldy hamburger helper in the kitchen. He had never taken out his trash. My neighbor on the above floor has been evicted. The problem is that her boyfriend, which should have been out and lived in another unit, is letting her in. It's suspected that they're both squatting now against the policy of the apartment complex. This seems like a never-ending hell how this awful acting parasite keeps popping up as though she is entitled to stay, despite no one wanting her here due to extremely toxic behavior and being officially evicted. I get she may have no other place to go as no place may want her, considering everything she has done, but she has no place here now. She's messed up her living situation all on her own. I really do hope at this point that the manager can have her jailed for violating eviction orders, trespass, intimidation, threatening behavior, and assault as she has assaulted someone. Surely she can't just keep trespassing and squatting unchecked. I live on in a semi-detached house, and my neighbors from two doors down are celebrating the UK bank holiday on the wrong day. I have contacted them on Facebook hours ago, and they assured me the party would be over by now. My four-year-old has school in 7 hours and keeps waking up having nightmares about the neighbor latest horror movie or what. They are definitely on drugs and drinking, and they constantly opening and slamming the back door, which rattles my whole house. I'm so fed up and tired of this shit. As soon as the temperature goes above 10 degrees Celsius, these idiots turn their house into a nightclub. They've done this for the past 4 years that I've lived here. I hate to be the only house on the street that seems to give a damn, but it's not right at all. If it was only every few months, or if they just gave me warning that they were going to have a late party, I would be more amiable. They've told me in the past, if it's ever too loud, just knock on and let us know, which I have some problems with. First of all, I have anxiety and depression. Banging on the door and interrupting their party, while I feel this stressed and angry, is not something I can physically do. The thought of it sends me into a panic attack. Secondly, that is not my responsibility. I'm not in charge of babysitting the party volume, and whenever it reaches a certain point, going to shut them down. That's the job of the host to be considerate and respectful of neighbors and prevent any rowdy behavior from guests. Finally, I can't leave my home in the middle of the night to visit the neighbor. I have a small child who is waking up due to the noise, and a dog that's trembling with worry. What if something happened? You can rest assured I'm mowing my lawn at 7 a.m. sharp and playing noisy games with my dog all morning.